94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and today, yes, this is the electric drum. I've got in the house Troy Troop Marshall, you know him, man, entrepreneur here in the city. We're going to talk about his life, man, and talk about, you know, it's interesting, but you, you know, you will be entertained today. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, brother. Thanks right. for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, you grew up in the city.
Yes, I did.
What part?
The Dixwell area.
All right. But everybody knows you from the Hill, you know. Right. Your grandparents and all of them were from the Hill, you know, and I know them well. So, but talk about your family first. Talk about your family.
I grew up in the Dixwell area. Most people think I grew up in the Hill because my grandmother lived over there, and my grandmother and I were very close, and I always seemed to like that area a little better. So hanging out around the bridge, Kimberly Avenue, and all of that. You know, I hung around there a lot. I had family who were really into politics. I look back now and I can't believe some of the people who really became prominent in politics, we knew them well. Like, I didn't know as a young person who they were, but now that I look back, you know, we knew them very well.
They were sitting around the kitchen table.
When they needed favors, they know who to come see, which was, you know, my grandmother, Sally McLean.
Sally McLean. Yeah. I love her. Yeah, I love her. And you know, my connection to Sally was because she worked at Liberation House with me. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, that's my other life. You know, I ran Liberation House drug program on Howard Avenue, 588 Howard Avenue right there.
In the Hill.
You know, so I know the area well. And Sally was fantastic, man. I mean, I learned so much from her as a young man, you know, running a program and learned so much about the city because I was new to the city. So how did that shape you?
Wow. Just being around all those people, man, and people who were about making things happen. It always inspired me because my mother, of course, is Stephanie Marshall, who taught me everything that I know. May God be pleased with her forever. Yes. She's a wonderful mother and, you know, just a very good person and one of those people who were one of those freedom fighters. My grandfather told me a story one time. He said, you know, Troop, he said, I remember I went to go see your mom in the hospital. I think she had just had my sister.
Yeah.
And she said over her head was a poster of Angela Davis. And he said, that's who your mother was.
Yes.
You know, but that's who she was. And my mother, I think she's definitely my hero. And I know my sisters would say the same thing because she instilled a value system in us of believing in ourselves. And that definitely shaped me into the person I am today. And that's why I tell people all the time, you know, when people talk about, you know, they throw that word around about hating. I'm like, I could never do that because I know what I'm capable of. So there's no reason for me to hate on anyone because I believe so much in myself that I could never do anything like that. And that, you know, that was instilled in all of us at a very young age.
And, you know, it's interesting because one of the things about New Haven in particular that I got a problem with, you know, and I'm trying to change, you know, mm-hmm. is that, I mean, I'm originally from Brooklyn, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I shout out Brooklyn everywhere I go. However, I'm from New Haven.
Of course.
So I shout out New Haven, and I love New Haven. I love being here. Now, you know, it's not just because I've been successful in New Haven, because at one time I wasn't.
Right.
Right? You know, so, I mean, when I came here, you know, it wasn't like peaches and cream.
Right.
You know, and I was struggling like everybody else, mm-hmm. you know, in New Haven. You know, but I don't hate on New Haven. I mean, all these people talking about, you know, I'm trying to get out of here. I can't wait to leave and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, some of the reasons why they want to leave, there's no place they can go that's going to be any different.
I've been there, done that. You got it.
You know what I'm saying? Done that. I mean, you know, and so I don't like all the hate talking. Mm-hmm. You know, don't like that, right? And I know you're proud of New Haven because you always talk positive things about the city. You know what I mean? What's your take on that? And why you think that is the case, man?
It's a mindset. I think people think, you know, there are greener pastures other places. You know, I actually moved out of New Haven and moved to Georgia for 6 years.
We got to talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead. But again, look where I am now.
Yeah, you're back
home.
You
know, there's no place like home. And I know a lot of other people feel the same way. There's no place like home. You know, your roots are here, your loved ones, and you realize that this place has a lot going on. I think sometimes we miss it because we're actually just in the midst of it, but we miss everything that's going on. New Haven has a lot going on. Don't let anyone tell you differently.
Before we move on, right? True.
Yep.
Where did that come from?
Oh, boy. It's funny. I was about 18 years old, and a friend of mine, he said, you know what? He said, man, you are a true trooper. And I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. He said, you know what? He said, when everyone else gives up, you keep going. He said, I'm telling you, you are a trooper. And everyone laughed and said, that's your name. You know, so I always laugh when people, they give themselves these names. I'm this, I'm that. I said, right. No, I've earned my name. So that even when a person says to me now, hey, Troy, they said, what should I call you? I said, call me True, because I've earned that name.
Yeah.
But that's where it came from.
Oh, that's where it came
from. Yeah.
So who was it? Is that, you remember?
His name was Chris.
Okay.
Yeah, his brother named Chris. And it was funny when he was saying it. He was shaking his head saying, man, you are a real trooper. He said, when everyone gives up, you keep going. And it was funny because that actually is who I am. And that actually, even by him saying that, that stuck in my head, because I'm always trying to prove, when people say they have limits, I'm like, go harder than that. You have to keep pushing yourself. A lady said to me one time, she said, you're the kind of person who, we can put you in a room with a group of people. You don't know what's going on. You don't know the people. And we can come back at another time and we'll see all the people in the corner and one person talking. And she said, that'll be you. You just have a knack for doing that. I'm like, well, it's God-given and it's been enhanced. But that's where the name came from.
Yeah, True. That's cool. Yeah, and we're going to get back to that in terms of your branding and in terms of your businesses and you being an entrepreneur in the city. So let's go back to early days. So you told me you went to Hill House.
Yes.
Tell me about that experience.
Wow, James Hill House. Boy, that was an amazing time. I always tell people, if you can go back in time, it should always be high school. Because I think during high school, you don't realize that life is getting ready to get serious. You think it's not, but it's really getting ready to be serious. And people don't realize that. I've met some amazing people at James Hill House, some administrators, some people who have helped shape my life.
Who were some of your mentors?
Miss Whitney.
Okay.
Oh boy. Mr. Harris, Dr. Harris. I mean, so many people. Verderam, Coachiola, you know, just a variety of people. They really played a big part in my life. It seemed like back then, again, I don't know about now. I can say for me, being in high school, you know, the administrators and the teachers, they were on you. And I think because they were allowed to be on you.
Wow.
You know, and I think things are a little different now. But yeah. They were on you.
Juan Castillo, I'm talking to my man, True. I know y'all know him as True, man, but this is, you know, Troy Troop Marshall.
Yes, sir.
You know, and, you know, he's an entrepreneur here in the city, and we're going to be talking about all the stuff that he's involved with and, you know, his take on things. You know, so what were some of the things you were involved with in high school? I mean, you know, did you play sports at all?
This is funny.
Yeah, right.
Tried to play football. Was always really good at football, but here's the funny thing.
Yeah.
I didn't want to play with my glasses on. So I didn't stay with that. I got out of playing football, but I was a part of the DJ club.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Part of the DJ club. That's why you'll see sometimes people will shout me out and say, oh, I remember True back in the day, Troy Marshall back in the day. Because that's where, Diamond and I knew each other for a long time.
Diamond D. Big up, D.
Yes, sir. Diamond D. That's where him and I really became really close. We used to run the DJ club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Diamond never told me that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, well, the next time you talk to Diamond, ask him to tell you about a story. We took, we promoted at 18 years of age, we promoted at this a place in Hartford.
Okay.
And it didn't work out too. We made a ton of money, but it didn't work out too good. Two young people. We had a chartered bus. We had,
wow.
Then. He had said to me a couple of months ago, he said, you know what, Troop? We were supposed to be rich doing that stuff.
Yeah.
He said, because we were doing it way back then.
That's cool. So after high school, what did you do?
After high school, my mother actually said to me, you know what, Troop, what do you want to do? I thought college wasn't really for me, so I actually went to a trade school for electronics. I tried that because I'm more of a hands-on person. I like to use my brain and be analytical. So I did that. I actually graduated with a certificate in that. But really, I started working for the school system. A lady had plugged me in because she really, you know, she had really enjoyed working with me. I worked with her on the summer program. I used to be a coordinator for the West Rock Leadership Program. That's how I started out. And I was able to go into the school system and do that for a while. And then I actually started working with people with developmental disabilities, developing support plans for them.
Wow.
And people are they get really surprised. They say, well, did you graduate college? And I'm like, no, just a lot of experience. I'm one of those people, I'm a read the manual kind of person. So I want to learn. So I'll read the manual. Yeah, that's how I am.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I got to tell you, I'm about language, right? You know, okay. I mean, language from the street, you know, because right now I'm trying to stop using the N-word. I'm a recovering N-word user.
Good.
And, you know, and also trying to cut back on the profanity, you know, and things, you know. I'm not doing very well with that, but...
work in progress.
Work in progress. But about the English language, about communication, it's really important to me. I came here to this country and I didn't know a word of English.
Wow.
And so, you know, it was tough for me to learn English and I really got into it. So, like, you know, I'm really... you know, a student, right? Since I know you, right, you've always had a great handle of the English language.
Okay, thank you.
And to be honest with you, because people normally associate having a great language capability,
mm-hmm.
speak English very well and all of that, with going to college, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is not true.
Right.
Listen to you, mm-hmm. right? And... you know, but can you talk about that? I mean, were you a reader? You know, were you yes. just conscious of words? Talk to me.
Yes. I've always been a reader. I don't read as much as I used to nowadays, but I've always been a person who's been conscious of words because words really matter. Because unfortunately, which is not always, it shouldn't be this way, but it is, people look at how you speak and they determine... Your worth, your intelligence, and you know sometimes people just can be nervous and they don't pronounce certain words the way correctly. But people are very smart. I know a lot of brothers and sisters who are very smart who may not be as articulate as the next person. But I've always been a person to try to be aware of that. And you know, I know you were talking about not using the N word. That really has never been a part of my vocabulary.
Wow, really?
And I actually
ever?
Made
no, never
no. No, man. Never.
Well, that's your family, right?
Yes, yes, yes,
yeah,
sir.
I know if Sally ever heard you say that, I already know. And your mother,
yes.
So I get it. But, you know, despite that, we have gone to the street and done it, but you've never used it.
No, no.
Wow.
And the funny thing is you can ask anyone when they, you know, when people even say that to me, I'm like, brother, please don't say that, you know, to me. That's a sign of disrespect to me. I'll correct a person really fast.
Wow.
With that, really. My mother, even as a young person, she never would call me boy. She would always say man. So, and it was funny because even so psychologically, that actually always made me to be more serious than the next person. Like one of the things that people would say about me is Troop's always been serious because I, at a young age, my mother always, you know, she always called me man. So I was like, oh, I have to conduct myself in a certain way. And I always tend to be a little more serious than most people, but I've never done that. And I actually made an effort, even on Facebook to start using a term that I'm always glad when I hear people use now is I always say good brother.
Yeah.
That's why I've always said that. All right, good brother. All right, good brother. Because I know if people start hearing that, then maybe people will start using that in place of being the N-word because that's it. That's who we are. Let's be good brothers.
Yeah, and that's what I grew up with. I mean, you know, in the 60s and 70s, you know, it was, you know, how you doing, brother?
Of course.
I mean, even walking down the street, how you doing, brother? You know what I mean? Speaking in those terms, you know, which makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
I mean, by the end of the day, you know. So yeah, man. So, wow. So you did that work, working with disabilities and,
mm-hmm.
and the team building and the leadership training,
yes.
and all of that. And then what after that? Right?
I realized that I actually work a 9-to-5 now. I still do, which is, again, developing support plans for people with disabilities. But I also realized that if you depend on your day job, you'll be in trouble. So I've always chased the entrepreneurial spirit. You know, I realized when I was actually in Georgia, you know, when you met people, they would always say to you, what do you do? What do you do? Because they always wanted to find out if you can be of service to them. So they would always say, what do you do? Because down there, the job market was really bad. They weren't really paying much. So people understood they had to hustle.
This is in Atlanta.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they understood.
And how long were you there?
6 years.
Okay.
Go ahead. So they understood that everyone's riding around with a magnet on their car that says some kind of business or something. If you didn't have a business card, they looked at you some kind of way. You actually had to say to people, oh, I just ran out if you didn't have any.
Wow.
Because that was just the mindset. And I think, you know, in places like New Haven, it's more job related. So people would ask you, where do you work? Are they hiring? So the mindset is just is different. And I believe that that's a part of the problem that, well, part of the challenge that we have here is because too often people think that if they get a job, they land certain jobs, they made it and they're fine. No matter how much they struggle while they're working there, they think they've made it so they don't have to do anything else. So they don't realize their connection to other people. Whereas the entrepreneurs understand that we need each other.
Right.
So this is about, you know, making the connection and also understanding that relationships matter because I might need you, you might need me. Whereas too many people think if I land this job at this certain place, I'm good, I'm straight, I don't need anything else. So relationships don't matter as much. I've never seen it that way.
So that's those 6 years shaped you in a different way.
Yes, right. They did. You realize you have to hustle. Right. You have to. I don't care where you work at. You better have multiple incomes coming in. You have to. All of us.
Before we move on to that though, let's go back to what you do for a living now, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that? I mean, in terms of, you know, how effective you are and what you actually do.
I like to believe I'm very effective. You know, I'm always getting acknowledged for being that. I mean, try to be as confident and humble as possible.
Of course.
But I think what's always helped me is I've always realized that every person has a capacity to learn. And when you're supporting people with developmental disabilities, sometimes people can look and go, well, this person doesn't speak, so I don't know, their intellectual level might be so low, they can't do anything. I've always taught people that you have to believe that everyone can learn at some capacity. Now, the challenge is, how do you teach them? Like, that's the real challenge. If you believe that everyone can learn at some capacity, you have to get creative and figure out, how do I teach? And for me, because, again, I am a read the manual kind of person, and I always try to think outside of the box. That's why I'm able to be effective in working with and developing plans for people, because I'll do what other people refuse to look at. You know, like a person might say, well, that might work, or that might look kind of odd, or people might say, I'm like, no, we'll try that and let's see. But again, it starts with a belief that you believe everyone has a capacity to learn, just like you can believe everyone has a capacity to do good. You have to believe. If you don't believe that, your foundation is going to be twisted and skewed, and
right.
You know, you won't be as effective.
So how has that affected you in terms of, like, you as a person, that job, you know?
It helped put things in perspective to me. One of the things that really sticks out in all of my career in working with people who have challenges is there was a person who I used to supervise. And, you know, he would come in, very good worker. And one day, I didn't see him anymore. And, you know, our executive director said, you know, Troy, we're going to have this meeting. We want you to be a part of it. I'm like, okay. So I go into this meeting, and he is the person being served. Because he was in a really bad accident, and at that time, he had what they call traumatic brain injury.
Wow, okay.
And this was probably about 12 years ago, about 12 years ago. And even though I've always believed that everyone can learn, I always believe that you have to have compassion, respect, and all those things, that gave me another perspective, because what it also showed me was, this could be you. And you will be in need of people to care for you, and how do you want people to treat you? That, I think, out of anything I've experienced in my whole career, that has always left a mark with me, that this gentleman who was providing support to people was in need of support now. That really stuck with me.
Right. So you went to Atlanta, spent 6 years, mm-hmm. and then you came back home.
Yes.
Why?
I got really homesick.
there you go.
And when people say,
he loves New Haven.
Yes, I do. And I didn't realize how much I loved it once I went down to Georgia. People would always say, well, Troy, why did you come back? I would say to those same people who are here, why haven't you left? And they usually get quiet when I say that, because that's what it really boils down to. People keep talking about, I got to leave. So what keeps you here? Because that train, that plane, that car can go anywhere. Why are you? Because you really truly understand that this place, this, you know, these are your roots. These are your roots. And people, I think they realize that after a while, and that's what keeps you here. And you think about the support system that you have, which I think we take for granted with our loved ones and friends and all this other stuff. But you realize that your support system is here, and that when you venture out, you need to be careful. That's why so many people leave and come back, because they fail to realize that their support system is here.
And you know, it's interesting that you say that, because conservatively speaking, this is a medium-sized city,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, 113,000. However, the you know, the greater New Haven area is much bigger than that, right? You know, million plus, the whole nine, right? And to some degree, a lot of people know each other, but to another degree, they don't, right? I mean, it's not that small,
right?
You know, and what I found is that New Haven has a small town mentality to some degree, but then also because Yale is here, we're so close to New York, it also has a cosmopolitan feel to it, right? And I've had people that look at my Facebook page and they see all the stuff that I'm posting about what we're doing here, and they're like, "Yo, you got New Haven got more stuff going on than even in New York." Yeah. And I'm serious. I'm talking about like people in New York. If you're between 30 and 45, there's really no place for you to go. There's really no events for you to go. There's no art. There's no real art down there that people are going and attending. No parties. There's one club, New York City.
Wow.
Imagine that, right? Wow. You know, and so the people that live here don't realize that, right? That there's an event at Terminal. There's an event at the Van Dome. You know, Juan Castillo is doing something over here at K2.
K2.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My man Ping is doing something over here at Lava Lounge. We got a lot of different places to go to, even though people claim, hey, there's no place for me to go, right? And so what's your take, you know, on what is happening in the city scene? I mean, you know, you're a promoter also, we're gonna talk about and your take on that. But how do you see what's happening in the city right now, you know, the climate?
It's a variety. You know, a person said to me one time, they said, Troop, you really enhanced the nightlife when you came back here. And I was like, how? And they said, because you made everyone else have to step their game up. Not the Juan Castillo. We're not talking about you, of course.
But listen, you motivated me, brother. Come on now. I got a lot of motivation from you.
Because people started labeling me as this person, this guy from Atlanta. And I remember June Boy said to me one time, shout out to June Boy. Yes, sir. He said to me one time, he said, you know what, True? People don't understand their roots. He said, people don't, they forget who you are and what you've done here. And he said, so it's easy to label you as this guy from Atlanta who's coming back here. Because prior to me moving back here, I was promoting from Atlanta to here. I would come back and forth a couple of times a month. Quite a few people know that, though. And, you know, I had tried to bring that Atlanta flavor here because I would see that they do things on a much bigger scale there, of course. So what I was trying to do was say, let's bring it that flair and scale it down a bit for New Haven. And I think one of the things that happened was people thought it was really easy. So everyone started doing it and people started realizing that, you know, there's ways to hustle. And I think that opened the doors for people to realize that now we have variety. So now it's not just one place, it's a variety of places. So when people are saying there's no place to go, if you stop and go, okay, think about tonight, what's going on? Man, you can name five or six things that are pretty major that are going on in the town in the night. So it's like people have more variety now. So that's why you have to step your game up, of course. But I just think that there's a lot going on. I think it's always easier for people to complain or people to say something negative because you're going to get more of a response from that. If you said, man, this town is dead. And it's like, yeah, but isn't this going on? This going on? This going on? It's dead. Because again, some people, you know, they feed off of that stuff. It's much easier to feed off the negative.
And it's not just about dancing. It's not just about going to a party because we got a lot of other stuff that's going on besides that, right? Yep. Tell me, what do you consider a successful event, right? And based on some of the stuff that you were doing. And are still doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Successful would be everyone's safe.
Yes.
That's the first thing. I always tell people that everyone goes home safe. And you know, you can't always guarantee, but you do the best that you can. Make sure everyone goes safe. My mindset when I first started promoting and coming back here from Georgia was I had started this slogan, which was, we're going to party in politic.
Okay.
Because what people used to always... they would always associate going out with partying. That's why people would always go, I'm too old to be partying, or I'm too old to be in the clubs or whatever. And I always would say to them, go to the Elks. Knickerbockers. Our parents were there. It wasn't about partying. It was politicking. It was networking. So that has always been my mindset when you talk about promoting events, is getting people to understand that other places realize you can go to Atlanta, New York, there are million-dollar deals going on in the clubs.
Yes.
At events. People are connecting there. I said, but again, we have the mindset of only thinking that going out is just partying and dancing, which is great, whatever you want to go out and do. But I think people miss that aspect of, you know, networking. If you have an event and there are a couple of hundred people there, unless you go to one of your day parties, it's 900 or 1,000 people.
No, but I'm trying to scale it down now. It's a different concept.
That's gonna be all,
yeah, it's a different concept more, based on what you just saying. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, I would always ask people, they would say, well, I don't like going out. And I would say, okay, listen to this. There are a couple of hundred people who are going to be there. Are you trying to develop something? Are you trying to promote something, a business? Are you trying to even land a job? Are you trying to meet people? Are you trying to reconnect with people? Here's a place that's going to have a couple of hundred people there. You need to go. But again, people only associate going out with just partying and drinking, and that's it. I don't drink. I rarely ever dance. Someone actually had me dancing the other night. People are still talking about it. She dragged me out there, and I'm waving to her right now. She knows who she is. But people don't realize, man, it's so much more than just partying, man. Those, the networking and the connections that you can make, they can be life changing.
Well, I think that your branding, because you threw politics in it,
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting because, you know, like in New York and around here in the street, sometimes we say, you know, why don't you come over? We got to do some politicking.
Yep.
What we mean is we want to get together and talk about what's going on,
yep.
right, with each other, right? You know, and the thing about your events is that I think that because you branded it that way, people looked at it that way. So when they came to party, it wasn't just about like, okay, I got to find somebody to ask to dance. I'm also going to be going up to people and saying, hey, you know, here's my card.
You got it.
You know, how you doing? You know, my name is so-and-so-and-so. And then you strike up a conversation and other people come around and somebody that you might know, hey, what's happening, Juan? It's like, yo, man, yeah, I'm doing my thing over here. So what's going on? You know, what's your next event? And
you got
blah,
it.
Blah, blah. And we start having, and we, so not only are we partying mm-hmm. and having a good time, but we got this conversation going on, right? And that's kind of what you brought, right? That wasn't happening, right?
Thank you.
You know, and it's still needed, man. I think it's still needed because,
absolutely.
Because, you know, by the end of the day, you know, fellowshipping
yep.
is so important, man, to your happiness. By the end of the day, if you're going to work every day and coming home, work every day, the kids, da, 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 right? Going to the movies, you know, all those regular things, right? And you're not really fellowshipping, right? And that's the reason why churches are so important.
Of course.
And it's not so much about the service. It's like, you know, we go into the basement after this.
You got it. You got it.
You know what I mean? You know? So, yeah. So those are some of the things. DJs. Oh. Give me your take on DJs. Since you ran that club, you were Diamond.
Yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy.
And
shout
music,
out to Diamond
man,
D.
And music, and how that fits in, and especially coming from Atlanta, what you learned there.
Music is very important. Very important to the club scene. You have to always have a very good DJ. You have to have, and the DJ has to keep the crowd moving. You know, you have to be those kind of, you have to be that kind of DJ that people don't want to leave the dance floor.
Yes.
They keep going. You want people to be sweating. You want people to feel like I'm too tired, you know, because we're not as young as we used to be.
Yeah.
But the DJ is really important. And, you know, and I think sometimes the DJ gets undermined, you know,
no
by
question.
Some promoters. They get undermined.
Yeah.
You know, I think
the importance of what they are.
Oh, man,
right.
The DJ is so important. And I think, you know, people take for granted and think that in promotion it's all about them. It's not. It's about the people you bring together.
Mm.
You know, for me, I've always felt and always used this mindset of, I'm not going to make it about me. I want people to realize that Troop will bring all these people together. That's what he's going to do. He has so-and-so coming. He has so-and-so celebrating their birthday. He has all, I never want it to be about me, which is why I always try to put True Trooper into entertainment and fam or friends, because it should never be about you, because it's so much bigger than you. I think people sometimes forget that, and the DJ is very huge, very huge.
Right.
And they should be compensated correctly, too.
Absolutely. And I definitely agree with that. Yeah. Listen, you know, promoters, you heard it from one of your own, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, you're not going to keep a good DJ unless you pay him, you know? And you're right. That's one of the ways that they're not really appreciated like they should be. So now let's talk about your photography, because somehow in the middle of all of that, you became a photographer. Yeah. Which is deep, right?
Yeah.
Because you normally don't put those two together. So let's. Mm-hmm. When did you first pick up a camera, man?
Oh, long time ago. I was always that person who, when you look at all the family pictures, you never see me, because I'm always the person taking the pictures. I have an interesting story.
Yeah.
And I might get a little uncomfortable saying this, but I'm
going to
say.
Before you go on, okay. I want to remind everybody, I'm talking to my man, Troy Troop Marshall, man, entrepreneur here in the city, does everything, man. And I know you've been to his parties, and I know you probably got some of his photos and everything else, but he's going to tell us a story. Now, go ahead, bro.
I've always been a photographer. Just started taking it more seriously the past about 4 or 5 years. But what ended up happening was I was having an event, and I'm not going to say who, but I paid a photographer to come here, and I said, you know what? It's going to be a red carpet event. I want people to come. Every person who comes through, I want you to take their picture. And for them, it was about selling the pictures. So what I said to him was, you have an opportunity. What I'm going to do is give you the opportunity, because I'm going to make sure every person who comes in has to have their picture taken, which means you can sell the picture to them. So again, I'm all about win-win. It's never about me. It's about we both win, because I want to be able to keep doing business with you.
Right.
So he said, okay, great. He said, great. Okay. I said, but listen, you have to be here by whatever. It was like 8 o'clock to capture everyone as they come in. He said, great. I'll definitely be there. I mean, I had comedians. I think it was my birthday party. So I had people, comedians there and some artists there. And, you know, about 9 o'clock, no photographer, 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30, no photographer. So now all this stuff is going on. The comedian was performing, and the photographer actually was coming through. And I said to him, oh, what happened? You missed. He said, oh, I'm sorry, Troop. And he went on and on and on. And I was really upset, because time is important, and we can't go back 1 second. So we can't recapture that. And that's what photography is about, capturing the moment. I can't. Even if I said, everyone line up, go back, we're going to do this again. That's trying to recreate it, but the essence of the picture would be lost. So I was really upset. And he set up, and he did his thing, of course. And I ended up finding out, a friend of mine, I was talking with her afterwards. We sat down, we were conversing, and she said, wow, isn't that something? He actually was just watching television. That's the reason why he was late. And I'm quite sure he's going to hear this story and not know that's what I found out. Because someone close to him had told her. And I said, are you serious? And I've always been one of those people that, again, I read the manual, and I will figure out a way to make something happen. So what people, you have to always realize with me is, don't let me figure out how to cut you out if you don't do right.
Yes.
Because I'll fit. And what I did was I said, I've always been a photographer. I need to enhance my skills again. But I don't need them. And I kid you not, Juan, ever since then, because I've always had the hustle in me anyway, and I realize I'm going to promote, I can take pictures, what else can I do? That's what I've been doing ever since then.
Wow.
Yep.
So out of necessity,
yep.
And someone blowing an opportunity.
Yep.
I mean, he showed anyway, but it opened up your mind now to, hey, wait a minute. I can do this.
I don't need him. And my sister always laughs. That's she always says, Troop, thanks so-and-so, because he gave you another income stream. And we always laugh about that, but that's how it started. I started, and I've been doing it ever since, and I've been doing very well with it.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's great. And it's interesting, you know, wow, I remember, you know, growing up before the camera phones, right, and all of that. When, you know, we used to have people from other countries that would come in, they all had cameras and were taking pictures, and Americans didn't do that.
Right.
You know, we would laugh at them.
Of course.
Look at them. You know, they taking all these pictures. You know, what are they going to do with them, right? And now we're deep in it.
Yeah.
It's all about photos. And then also with social media, you know what I mean? Let's talk about that, right?
Okay.
What's your take on it? I mean, you've been around long enough when it wasn't here.
Right.
And you've seen it grow, right?
Oh yeah. Ooh.
What is your perspective on it? The, you know, the good and the bad, and the ugly.
Oh yeah, because it can get pretty ugly. I think people devalue it when they say it's not that serious. You know, what I always say to people when they say that is, you know, there was a government in Egypt that was toppled through social media.
That's right.
So when you keep talking about it's not that serious, that means you're not using it correctly.
That's right.
Because it's very serious. With that being said, it can become too serious. And I think people don't realize that words have meaning. You know, when you say something, you know, it's out there. When you post something, it's out there. And once people see it, you can delete it. But it's out there. It's out there in the universe. It went out there already. So we have to be careful of it. I think that we have a tremendous opportunity through social media to get our message out. And I think the people who are going to be successful from this point moving forward, or who are successful, they understand that. You have a vehicle to get whatever message is out, whatever it is. And hopefully, you know, it's positive. But social media is huge.
Now, you know what's interesting about that? Because we finished talking about language earlier, mm-hmm. right? And you know one thing I found out about the English language is that it always, the English language goes with facial expressions too, right? Yep. You could say something on paper and somebody could take it wrong. They could say it, you could say the same thing in front of them and it doesn't have the same effect.
Right.
And so that's what I think causes an issue. Because now you're not looking at somebody, right? And by the end of the day, I think that if people begin to understand, I mean, someone told me once, like, you know, when I first got into this, right? You know, so I was like capitalizing my posts.
Okay,
like, why don't you stop screaming?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, what are they talking about? You know what I'm saying? Didn't realize that when I capitalize, it means that, and I still capitalize when I want to scream.
Of course. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Get the message across.
But there you go. Right. You know, so if I say, you know, heads up, if I capitalize it, I'm bringing the volume up.
Right.
Then understand that. Right. And so I think, and with people that get into social media, they don't understand that either. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. So absolutely. And now, what do you think about social media in terms of promotion? Like, what works for you? How does it work for you? In terms of, you know, getting the word out, and how do you use it?
You have to use it a lot. I think what you also have to do is get other people to promote for you.
Okay.
And again, that was a concept I had got when I was down in Atlanta, because that's what they would do. They would actually tell people you can get free entry into their club if you retweet it, because, you know, Twitter is real big.
Yeah.
We think Facebook is big, which it is. Twitter is huge.
Right.
And they would say that if you retweet this, you can get, you know, free entry into the club. It's about getting that message out. But what I think we also forget about is word of mouth is still important too. And I think sometimes we spend too much time on social media thinking that that's going to do it, because we forget there are some people who aren't up there.
That's true.
And we forget that. So I think you have to use all of it. You know, you have to use the flyers. You have to use social media. You have to use the radio.
You still use flyers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. You have to use the radio.
Right. Exactly.
People don't realize the radio. You got to think about how many people you're trying to reach. And, you know, in certain radio stations like WYBC, you reach a lot of people. And I think people forget that.
Right.
If it's all about getting the message out, you have to reach as many people as possible. So you have to use it all. So I think social media, I'm able to use it and be effective, you know, thank God. But, you know, you can't stop there. You can't stop there.
A lot of our friends are doing their lives, Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah.
Give me your perspective on Facebook Live.
Facebook Live is scary. And I think if you're not scared doing Facebook Live, then you don't really understand what it is, because it's live. You know, you're right out there. I think it's another vehicle for people to get their message out. I know some people who are characters like Topic King Ping. I call him Champ. He knows Rob Davis,
Webb.
Rob D, Webb. Yeah. These guys, you know, who are characters in their own way.
Big up to Peanut Butter McCray.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
She's got a great one.
Yes. So. I think they are the people who, they get it. They understand that they're going to get their message out by being witty, by being interesting. At the end of the day, you have to be interesting.
Controversial.
Controversy sells. Big time.
And this week, you know, from what people have been telling me, also ratchet sells.
Oh, huge. That's huge. You know, you can have something that's really informative that's not as exciting, and people, okay, that's nice. But, you know, you get the ratchet stuff out there and the controversial stuff out there. Everyone wants to buy them because a lot of people want to see a train wreck. We don't like to admit it, but we want to see a train wreck.
Absolutely. So where do you go from here, man?
Up. You always go up.
Yeah.
You got to keep pushing. You always go up. You got to stay creative. You have to stay interesting. You got to think about things that, you know, that help you as a person so that you can help other people. You know, we have to remember when you're on an airplane, one of the first things they tell you is you put the mask on yourself to save yourself first so you can help everybody else. And I think sometimes we forget that. I got some things I'm working on with some people, yourself and some other people that I think are going to be big because it'll be working with people who understand that things are bigger than them. I love working with people who understand that it's not about me, it's bigger than me. I'll work with them every day, all day, and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, man, I got to tell you, I think that when people, there's a lot of people that figure, you know, okay, well, it's just philosophy, it's about philosophy. Some people feel, a lot of people feel that They don't care about how what people think about them, right?
Yes, they do.
And that's I think they do. Yes. I think that almost everybody feels that way, and you want people to like when they say, "Hey, you know, true, you know, what about him? You know, what's up with him?" Right. And I gotta tell you, in this city, you know what the answer is for you? He's a good dude.
Oh, thanks.
He's a good dude.
I appreciate that.
And that's what you're known. So at the end of the day, bro, you know, I know you've accomplished a lot of things or whatever, but I wanted to tell you that.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Because that's your reputation in the city. And that's how I think of you, right? By the end of the day. You know what I mean? Listen, I got one last question. Okay. I'm putting you on. I mean, I should have asked you this earlier so you could think about it. But can you think of anything, in your, especially from your family or your mom and, or your, you know, your grandmother, best advice you ever got from them? Can you think of something?
Believe in yourself. You know, put God first. That's it. I think two of the greatest things you can instill in a person is a belief in God and a belief in themselves.
Yeah.
You have to believe in a higher power, which I do, and you have to believe that you can do anything. And I think it shows with myself and my sisters that my mother instilled that in us, my family did, that I kid you not, I believe in me.
Bro, I want to thank you for coming, man. It's been a minute.
Thanks for having me.
You know, and you know I'm family, baby, you know.
Yes, sir.
You know, again, you know, your grandmother, man, and your mother, man, were very instrumental in my life and, you know, and how they motivated me, you know, when I was a young man trying to make it in the hill, you know. And you know, and you came from them, man, and they're proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Again, thank you, man. And I just want to let everybody know, you know, me and Troop are going to be coming together. We got something for you.
Yes, we do.
We got something for you, so keep listening and, you know, and get on that social media. You're going to find out about it. Juan Castillo, which is this electric drum. We will see you next week.